right, everybody can hear me? Yeah. One more round of applause for our graduates. You know, as I look out, I see a lot of smiling faces. There's a lot of proud people in this room because we understand the challenges and understand what these graduates had to go through to get to this point. So it's incredible that we're able to commemorate and honor them because it is a great accomplishment. It is. You know, at this time, I want to just take a moment just to kind of acknowledge a special guest here that I have. My mom, Lynette Desir, she's here this morning. My sister Fendi's here as well, my niece. And, you know, it is always special to be around people that can spur you on to great things. And so I have a scripture. I just want to open this up for the graduates. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 to 9. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the good. I have kept the faith. Now there is a store. Now in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous Judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Now, our graduates can understand. They can relate to this: fighting the good fight, staying faithful to the task, finishing the race. I know when I graduated, I could not wait to walk across the aisle and get my diploma. So I know right now there's a special buzz right now. And so keeping with the theme of graduating and honoring our graduates, I just have a few words I wanted to share to you and to all of us that's here this morning. And simply put, the name of this, the title of the sermon is Run Your Race. Amen. Run your race. Because my race will be different from your race. It will be different. And in life, just like in school, we all know, it's not a sprint. You're a freshman to a senior, but it's 4 years of high school that you got to go through. So it's not a sprint. It's more like a marathon. And so is life. Life is our marathon. You can't sprint to the finish line. It's not a 40-yard dash. This is a picture from a scene from Forrest Gump. Now, if you haven't seen Forrest Gump, you got to see it. It's hilarious. This scene in particular, he has these knee brace on his legs. And he's on his dirt road, and here are some bullies that want to pick on him. And so because of these braces, he can't quite move like he wants to move. He's trying to escape these bullies. And so while he's running, while they're chasing him, he begins to start pushing. Now, in his mind, he's running like a track star, but his legs ain't going that fast because it's inhibiting him. And so as he starts to pound his feet and the bullies are getting closer to him, he starts to feel the braces starting to shake and it's starting to rattle. And he starts to get a little nervous because he's like, because all this time he's been relying on these braces to keep him from, you know, walking straight or straighten up his legs. So that's what the doctors told him. But at some point, he started realizing that the looser these things become, he's able to run faster to get away from these bullies. And as he's going, they completely starts to shake. And he just gets to a point where he kicks it off completely. Once he does that, there's an expression on his face, like, wow, I am free. And he takes off running so fast, he outruns these bullies that's on bikes. And later on in a car, he outruns them again. And so in thinking about your life being a marathon, there's preparation that you got to go to. You're not going to just say, I'm going to run the Boston Marathon today. Without preparation. Come on. You're not going to do it. You're not. You're going to prepare yourself months in advance. You're going to start all your cardio exercises. You're going to start running a mile or two or three or four. You're going to build up to it. But every runner that runs in a race knows that they have to release the things that's going to hinder them from performing at optimum level. My first point is you got to shed the weight. You got to shed the weight. You are running the race of your life. You do not have the time nor the energy to sit and deal with all the things that's going to hinder you from performing. Our college graduates and our high school graduates can tell you there were some sacrifices that had to be made. There were some things they had to say no to in order to achieve what they achieved today. They had to say no to certain friends because it was hindering them. They had to put down the cell phones. They had to put down technology. There were certain habits that they had to put away. They had to shake it off, break it off, pull it off, whatever it took to achieve their goal. Amen. So is life. So is your spiritual walk with God. You have to figure out, what is it that's entangling me from continuing my race? In Hebrews 12, when it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Throw it off. What are you waiting for? This is the race of your life. You imagine this for a minute. You're coming into a stadium full of people cheering your name, cheering for all the runners. You know, you do your pre-warm-up. You know, you got your short shorts on. You got everything. You're aerodynamic. You're good. And you look to the left, and you see someone wearing a helmet. They got body armor on. They got military-grade cargo pants and some hiking boots and a 15-pound backpack. Wow. And they're getting ready to run the same race you entered. So you're probably thinking two things. You're either a fool or you're fast. Because if you must be fast, because you're wearing all this into this race. Or you would think that person is foolish. They're not prepared. They're not ready to run this race. They're not throwing off the things that's going to hinder them to be able to achieve the goal that they're seeking. Think about it for a second. What are the bad habits that you have right now that holds you back? We've been talking about transforming. What are the things? Is it laziness? Is it the lack of being in your Bible? Is it humility? You know what it is. Are you willing to shake it off? Shed the weight and get into this race, the race that's yours. My second point is, you got to run your race. You have to run your race. You can't run my race. My mom can't run it for me. My dad can't run it for me. I have to run my own race. Some of our teens in here, your parents are disciples, and you're not. That's your race. You can't rely on your parents, nor can your parents expect you to be them. You have to run your race. Because if you don't run your race, no one's going to run it for you. For anybody else who's contemplating, what is it that God wants me to do? If you hear his voice, this is the time. It's time to shed the weight. It's time to run your race. In Hebrews 12, continuing in verse 1 and 2, it says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Run with perseverance. That word perseverance already tells you that this is not a sprint. Because in any race, if it's a 40-yard dash, if it's the 100-meter run, if you stumble, the race is over. You can't recover. If you fall, you are not winning that race, because the race is over just like that. It's over. But perseverance says, this race is going to be a little bit longer. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. Perseverance says, you know what? It's okay for me to mess up. It's okay. If I fall in this race, I can get back up and just continue going. I can keep on going. It's okay. A lot of us walk around in life afraid to make a decision. We're afraid to act on faith. You can't run your race with perseverance if you're fearful of that. You got to overcome. Many of us have been hurt in the past. Yes, not to diminish anything that you personally have experienced. But you have to persevere. There's a goal into which you're running. You're aiming for something. The race is marked out for you. Your race. Your race is marked for you. You think about it. When a runner comes to a starting line, they have an idea where all the checkpoints are. They know where all the water stations are. They know where the bathrooms, if they got to stop. I mean, they know where it's all at. They know where the emergency station is. There's a map. And so as they're running the course, they know where to turn left or turn right. God has already marked out your race. Amen. It's already been marked out. And if he's the one that marked out your race, isn't it to your benefit? Sometimes we're running in a race of life and we look and we see someone else running a different race. And we go, why is he running that race? Why is he on a bicycle? Can I get on a bicycle too? No, that's not your race. That's why you can't run that race. It's not yours. I've already marked it out for you. All I need you to do is run with perseverance. That's all you got to do. Run your race. You do that, everything else will work itself out. Everything else will work itself out. My last point is that you got to stay focused. Because everybody knows and everything that's worth getting or worth fighting for is going to be a challenge. There will be distractions. Our graduates can tell you there will be distractions. Our parents can tell you there will be distractions. But you got to stay focused. You have to. Because it's your race. It's the race of your life. It's for you. In Hebrews 12, continuing in verse 2, well, I'll just read the whole verse. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and that the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You know how you stay focused in this race? You fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen. You don't look at what the other person's running. You don't worry about that. You fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen. That's how it's done. You begin to make decisions based off what Jesus has taught you. That's how you overcome. That's how you run a race with perseverance. You're not afraid of falling. You're not afraid of failing. You continue on and you overcome, but you stay focused. You stay focused on the goal. How many times have you set out to do something, great or small, and as soon as you've decided that, there are five other distractions waiting for you. Just waiting to pull on your shirt, pull on your pants. I'm not talking about my son. We're talking about other people. How many times? I mean, think about it. Even in school, I mean, I'm using this example because I know you've experienced this. As soon as you say, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm spending 7 hours in the library. This is what I'm going to do. The second you say that, you get 6 texts from 7 different people. I don't know how that's possible, but it does. It just works out that way. That's how the math works. It always happens. In life, there will always be distractions keeping you away from running your race. It will happen. You have to expect that. You have to say it's going to happen. But you know what? The decisions you make, every decision you make should bring you closer to Jesus. That's how you run your race. Every decision you make should be bringing you closer and closer to him. If you find yourself running in this race and all of a sudden you're making this left detour and there's nobody over there, there's no markers, there's no water, there's no, it's just someplace else. You're probably running the wrong way. You probably took your eyes off Christ for a minute. You probably said, I have this over here, God, but this looks pretty too. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've picked a career that pulls you away from what God has intended for you anyway. Maybe you are in a job right now that is pulling you away. Maybe your marriage is not as fired up as it should be. Maybe you're in college and you're dealing with the pressures and the days of trying to figure out yourself and figure out life. All these different things. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You will find your way back. You will find your way back on this course. For those of you who at one time was on this path, and for whatever reason, you know what? Life got hard. Certain challenges came your way. And maybe, you know, being a Christian just wasn't it. And you decide to walk away. You can come back. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You will find it. You will find your way back. Remember the great clouds of witnesses? They're in every checkpoint. Jesus giving out water. Spirit is sitting on the right side of you, chanting your name. Jesus is at the front, and he's at the finish line. It starts with him. It ends with him. That's where you go. That is where it is. And so, in closing, the finish line. The finish line. You know how you know when you're getting close to the finish line? When you have more energy than you had in the beginning. That's how you know you're getting close to the finish line. Because, you know, you're running that marathon. And all of a sudden, you see the balloons. You see the balloons in the distance. Oh, all of a sudden, you straighten up. You start putting so much effort, and you get to that finish line, and the celebration begins. The celebration started about a mile before that because you saw the balloons already. The celebration begins. The clouds of witnesses are cheering and roaring your name. You can do it. Come on. Let's go. Just a few more steps. I know you hear it. I know you see it. Go get it. Go get it. Cross that line. Yep. Finish it. Don't just start and quit. Finish it. You fell. Okay, get up. Finish it. Amen. We have college dropouts and high school dropouts. We know it's true. It's there. But for those who graduate, they got up and they finished it. Finish your race. Finish your race. One last thought. Again, I want to again thank those who put this together. All the parents, all the mentors in this room, all the people that had a hand on your child or even your spouse's success. You are the clouds of witnesses as well. You're the one that's spurring them on. Continue that and help them get to that finish line. Amen. May God be the glory. Okay.
Fantastic job, Kenson. I have a few announcements before we go into our communion. I want to, there's a sister who's placing membership with us. Her name is Robin Gladney. Can you stand up, Robin? Welcome. It's great to have you here. Also, team parents, please sign up. Please sign the waiver that have been given to your teens for the escape room today. Please pick up your kids at 5 p.m. at Stevie B parking lot on Pleasant Hill for the teens. Also, right after this, if you live in Loganville, Snellville, and Grayson, and if you're a part of campus, we need you to stay right here. We're going to have a short meeting on our new family group, Transforming Here. And so if you would take your fellowship outside, that would be great. So we'll have time for all of us to have that meeting. But, you know, today has been a great day. God has moved in a powerful way. You know, graduates, it's a great time. You know, I think Kenson is so true. I think what he said is so true. Stay close to God. Don't wander off. Listen to God. I have a scripture here. It says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his words, his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." You know, God is saying to us, I've given you everything for life and godliness. You lack nothing. He's given us everything that we need. And I think as graduates and all of us, that God has given us so many things for us for success in life. Now, success is not how much money I have in my bank account. Success is not how big my home is or how much stuff I have. Success is, do I know God? And does he know me? And will I see Jesus' face at the end of my life? I don't want to do all these things, acquire all these things, and miss out on seeing Jesus at the end of my life. That's not success. You know, I tell my kids, I'm like, hey, if you go out and graduate, and I don't care what you do, but stay close to God. If you're just making minimum wage, but you make it to heaven, that's all that matters. What good is it if you become CEOs and you make all this money and miss out on heaven? What's the point? Let's get our priorities straight. God has given us everything for life and godliness. You know, the true measure in giving is not what you give. Rather, it is what you keep. You see, God gave us so many good things. He withheld nothing from us. You know, as we're talking about the missions contribution coming up, you know, it's not about what we give. It's about what we keep. Are you willing to give God everything? God has given you everything. God has given you Jesus. Are you willing to give to the point where it hurts? God has given you to the point where it hurts him to see his son on the cross. And I think for us, as we take communion this morning, I want us to think about what he has done for us on the cross, that how God has not held back on us, and what exactly is success to us and to God. What does he want us to do to be successful in his eyes? You know, are we giving God everything we have? You know, a lot of times we give God the things that we're not good at. You know, the things that we fail at. But the things that we're good at, or the things that we feel it's ours, it's off the table. And I think this morning, what is it that I'm holding back from God? Let's give God all that he deserves. Let's pray as we take our communion this morning. Let's pray. Father, God, you are so amazing. God, there's no one like you. God, thank you so much for loving us so graciously and loving us, even despite our sins. God, we're so grateful that you did not withhold your son from us. And Father, he died as a criminal. He died because of my sin, because of our sins that hung him on the cross. And God, help us to give you all of our hearts. Help us to not withhold anything from you, because you have not withheld anything from us. God, thank you so much for the graduates this morning. God, I pray that you be with them, that you will help them and put a hedge around them, guide them, protect them. And Father, I pray that they will love you all the days of their lives. God, be with us as parents and friends and family. God, I pray that we too will get to know you, that we too will draw near to you. Because God, you said that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. God, thank you so much for that promise. God be with us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.